MacCast, Friday, September 30th, 2011. Hey, Mac Geeks, it's time for your MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geeks. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. How you doing? Welcome back to the MacCast. I am excited about today's show because it is my follow-up to the episode I did about why I'm an Apple user and why you're an Apple user. Well, this episode's going to be about why you're an Apple user. But I did an episode where I interviewed a bunch of people in the tech, podcasting, Mac community, and I just asked them the simple question, why are you an Apple user? And I realized that was something I'd never really asked that many people. And I was surprised by the varied answers that I got. You know, they all run in a certain theme, but I think that being an Apple user, being a Mac user, is something that's also at some level personal. Everybody has a moment or a event or something that happened to them that set them up to be a fan of Apple and Mac products and be a Mac user. And some knew it right from the beginning, some it came later in their life, in their use of technology and stuff like that. And I think you'll hear all of that in this episode. So what's great about this episode is at the end of that show where I asked all of the tech people about why they're an Apple user, I threw the question out to you. And you responded with all of this great audio. So it's taken me a while to kind of gather it all up and did a little bit of editing. The one thing you'll notice about this show is I was dealing with multiple sources, so the quality varies a little bit from what you would typically hear on the MacCast, but I think the content is really what I wanted to get at, and there's some great content in here. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. But before we get into it, I do need to take a moment and thank a couple of my show sponsors. Circus Ponies, makers of Notebook. I talk about this product all the time, but it's because it's a product that I use. And what comes to mind when I think about Notebook is just versatility. I think I originally purchased it because I needed just something to jot down notes and do some outlines and stuff like that. And then I suddenly found that I was opening it up for more and more stuff. And when I started doing the podcast, it was great for research because it has the web clipping feature, the service that's built into Safari, so I can select something that might be in my Gmail or might be in an article I'm reading and just clip that off. I don't have to think about it right then. I know it's saved in my Notebook. I can come back and review it later. I know it's easy to find because they have the indexing that's built in, the multi-dex that automatically indexes everything. So if I need to find a URL or a specific term, I know that's going to be easy to recall. And then I can start organizing things. And I can have multiple sections and pages. And I can have tabs. And I can throw on sticky notes and little flags so I know where to go back and find something. And I can have multiple notebooks for multiple things. It really just became this tool that I found myself turning to over and over again. So if you haven't checked it out, I think you're really going to like it. They have free trials available on their website. Of course, there's a bunch of information. If you need to get up and running quickly, they have some great tutorials that were done by Don McAllister of Screencast Online, so you can check those out. And it's just a really great product. I'm very happy to have them as a sponsor. So check it out, circusponies.com. And then our other sponsor, Gazelle, you know, timing is everything sometimes. And right now, we've got rumors, new iPhones, iPhone 5, iPhone 4S, whatever it ends up being, it's going to come out. We should hear about it on October 4th. Gazelle is a place where you can get cash for your old stuff. So maybe you're wondering, how am I going to get the money? I want to get the new iPhone. Well, if you have an old iPod Touch, if you have an old video camera, if you have some bit of electronics, chances are it's in Gazelle's database and they will make you offer for that item. All you have to do is go to their website, do a simple search, and it will come back. It'll ask you a few questions about the condition of what you have to sell. And then they give you an upfront offer. So it has an advantage over auction sites or classified sites in that you're going to know what you're going to get right up front. And if you choose to take that offer, if you have an item of value, they will pay for the shipping. Sometimes they'll even send you a box. And so you get the box, you package it up, you send it into them. And when they receive it, they look it over, make sure it matches the condition and everything that you specified when you did your initial search, and then they send you your money. You can get it by check, you can get it by Amazon gift card. If you do the gift card, you even get some extra money. so you can make a little bit more, and you can even have the money donated to charity. So if you'd rather just support one of your favorite charities, they have a big list on their site. And then on items that don't have value, they can even handle the recycling for you, and they do it with certified partners, so you know it's not going to end up in, you know, a harbor in China or something like that. They do it safely and responsibly, and it's just a truly great service and saves you the time and hassle of having to try and sell your stuff. So check it out. Gazelle.com is the address, and a big thank you to them for their support of the MacCast. So let's dive into your stories, your comments on why you're Apple users.
Adam, this is Jimmy Nally, and I wanted to give you my reason for being a Mac user, and I got something to read, so here it is. Adam, first, thanks for the informative and educational MacCast. When I think about why I am an Apple user, I think about a couple of glaring reasons. First, the word optimism comes to mind. After a run-in with clinical situational depression in 2003 and 4 as a result of divorce and other life-changing upheavals, I learned what it meant to have an utter lack of hope and enthusiasm for the future. I didn't touch my Mac. I didn't read Mac publications. This, among other indicators, let me know through the fog of my despair just how far I had sunk into the abyss. Time heals all. And one of the barometers of my return to hope and enthusiasm for the present and future was regaining my passion for using my Mac. The Mac had always been a passion since the first day in 1985 when I moved the mouse and the screen of my 128K Mac running Mac Paint showed a cursor tracing the exact line I was drawing. I wrote my name. I drew stick men and filled the clouds with crazy patterns of the paint bucket. Suddenly, I was an artist. Even my old dad marveled as he made his own piece of art, which I printed out and cherish to this day. I'm still not a good artist, but with the help of templates and clip art, many think I'm a talented designer. I've run a resort property management business, a DJ company, all from my Mac. I've written music, TV scripts, finished a late-in-life degree from the University of Maryland, learned to design simple databases in FileMaker, all on my Mac. I have Ray Kurzweil to thank for pushing me into purchasing a Mac. Back then, I knew I wanted to own and learn to use a computer, but DOS, with its command codes, seemed to put a huge learning curve between me and actually getting the job done. When I purchased a Kurzweil K250 keyboard for my recording studio, it was the first acoustically accurate, digitally sampled grand piano ever commercially available. Kurzweil designed it so the only computer that would store its programs was a Mac. So I bought that first Mac and have been a user ever since. Second, I am firmly a member of the group that Apple dubbed The Rest of Us in its earliest slogan. I wanted a well-made, dependable machine that would work forever. I was not and still am not a real geek. My analogy is when I buy a car, I want to put the key in the ignition, start it up, and drive away. I don't want to become a mechanic and have to tune the car up before, during, and after my trip. Let me have a tool that I can employ immediately with no to low learning curve. I think that For the Rest of Us has been Apple's mantra from day one. And the rest of us is a very large community, as the company's exponential growth attests to. Apple's commitment to quality and the individual expression within this community make me very happy to be an Apple user. So long live Apple and Steve Jobs.
Adam, it's Rudolf here from Cape Town. And I just wanted to send in my, why I'm a Mac user story. So here it goes, I guess. So I'm also kind of the same story as you, with being a communication design student and using Macs there. And so I just got kind of into the hang of the Apple's kind of way of doing things. And I felt like it's easier for me to use. So after graduating, I decided to get an iMac. I'm just listening to all the interviews you guys have been into this thing far longer than me. But my first Macintosh was a 2007 iMac. I think the thing that keeps me from switching is just the, like the other guy said, like the continuity of, and between devices, even between devices, and also between programs or apps, as they call it these days. You know how it's going to work, like when you do something, or maybe you'd rather say like 90% of the time. There are definitely sometimes that things doesn't work as you thought they would. But it's definitely much better than my experience on Windows.
Hi, Adam. This is Andy. I just wanted to send in a comment regarding your question, why am I an Apple user? And it's hard to pin it down to one thing, but I'll give you two things that really just always stand out to me. One is the seamless and easy integration of the hardware and software across the different Apple product platforms. Everything is just so easy to use with each other. And I think probably one of the things that comes through clearly to all your interviewers are, once you try one Apple product, you are hooked and you are going to get another product and join them together and work them together. And I was no different. And so the seamless integration of the hardware and the software to get things done, get out of the way, and let you be creative rather than fight the technology is incredibly, incredibly beneficial and is one reason. And the second reason is really something I heard first and I've agreed with from Mike Potter on the For Mac Eyes Only podcast. It's the community. The community of users is unbeatable. There is no other situation where I've ever seen any other kind of technology community that is so interested in working with these products. So I would say those two things are the things that make me and continue to make me an Apple user. Thanks.
Hi, Adam. Love the show. I listen to a lot of Mac shows, and yours always makes me feel involved, and it's very personal, so thank you for that. You ask a very interesting question. Why am I into Mac and Apple? And, well, I only own Mac and Apple products. Simple, I'm dyslexic. I grew up in the PC era, and I found PCs to be incredibly confusing. I didn't understand the lists and all the similar information. It just didn't make sense. And then when I met my wife, she's a graphic designer, she introduced me to Macs, and a light bulb went on my head. Everything made sense. This graphic interface worked the way my brain worked. I'm a very image-driven person. And life became so much easier after that, and I've always owned Macs. I get the feeling if you were to go back and ask all the people you interviewed the other day why they like Macs, I would be surprised if a high percentage, an unusually high percentage of them had some sort of learning disability or dyslexia. A lot of very clever people are dyslexic, and they are only able to do what they do because the Mac interface assists them in a way that makes sense for their brains, because it's certainly made my life so much easier. I got put off PCs at a very young age when, about 25 years ago, I had access in my primary school to the one and only Commodore computer that, in existence as far as I knew about. And when nobody was looking, I used to get in there, break into the code of the games, and the only way I could figure out what was going on was by breaking a little bit of it and seeing how what effect it had on the program when I run it. Unfortunately, a teacher caught me, took me to the headmaster, they examined the computer to see that it no longer worked, and I was accused of vandalism and banned from using the computers for the rest of my primary school, which I think is a real shame, because I was the only person in my school who even had any understanding of computers. Anyway, that's my sad story over. Thank you very much for a fantastic show. Keep it up.
Hi, Adam. It's Phil from Pittsburgh, PA, responding to your question about why I'm an Apple user. Like the guest you had on your show, it's probably best to describe how I first came to be an Apple user. I am a classic iPod Halo Effect Apple user. Way back in 2001, I got my first MP3 player, and I used that for a while with Windows Media Player on a PC, and it never quite worked well. But I never wanted to get an iPod because I felt like it was going to limit me and tie me too much to Apple. Eventually, however, I did take the plunge, and I got an iPod, and I loved it. And it was exactly what I wanted in an MP3 player. But I was still connecting my iPod to iTunes on a PC, and that was a little quirky. And when it became time to get a new computer for the house, it was around the time of those "Hi, I'm a Mac" commercials on TV, and I loved those commercials. And I thought, you know, I'll bet iTunes works a whole lot better on the Mac than on the PC. I'd look into getting a Mac for our next computer. And so sure enough, that's exactly what we did. We got an iMac and iPod, and the iPod and iTunes worked great. And but then at the same time, I also had all this other stuff that I loved, like iPhoto and GarageBand and iMovie, that also worked great. And so after that iMac, you know, we added a MacBook and an Apple TV and a time capsule and two iPhones, an iPad, an iPod Touch. And, you know, we even replaced the original iMac with another iMac. And so every one of these products just worked and fit perfectly in with each other. And at this point, I don't even pay attention to anything else because I love my Apple experience so much. And it just can't be said enough that it all just works. So anyway, that's how I became an Apple user, but why I believe in the company and their products is a little bit different, although pretty similar. And, you know, I used to manage a help desk at a corporation, and of course we helped people with all sorts of problems they were having with their PCs. And I was always amazed with how little people took the time to learn about their computers. I was kind of of the opinion that if this is your computer and it was going to be the primary tool you use to accomplish your job, shouldn't you take the time to learn about learn about it and how it works? I mean, a lot of times I attribute to computer issues to the fact that people just didn't simply bother to learn how to use their machines. But the thing I love with Apple and their vision is they totally flip that thinking around. They build their products in such a way that you shouldn't have to learn about how to use your computer. And really, the only way they can accomplish that is by having such a perfect marriage of hardware and software, so they can control how that all works together. And, you know, some will lament about how closed that system is, but I applaud Apple for standing up and saying, for us to deliver the experience that we know people want from a computer, we have to design and engineer the entire system from start to finish. And I used to think that was bad, and now I realize how perfect it really is. And it's that commitment to that user experience that keeps me an Apple user. So anyway, thanks for a great show, and hope this helps you out in your project. See ya.
Hello, Adam. This is Paul. I'm here to answer your question, why am I a Mac user? Why do I use Apple products? Simple answer, I was born that way. I'm 56 years old, but about 30-ish years ago when I first started using computers, my first computer that I used and grew to love was a Mac. It started out with me asking a friend of mine which computer platform to use, hopefully get our employer, at that time I worked at a church, to get us into the computer age. I had some specific projects that I wanted to do, and I asked him to show me how they would work on a PC. He's an avid PC guy, but he worked at a computer store that also sold Macs. So he put me in front of a PC Junior, and using some of the software available back then, he showed me how to plug in the commands, etc., very arcane, and he got me through it, and I did some actual work on the thing. But then he stuck me in front of a Mac, and he said, I recommend this, even though I use the other platform. Stuck me in front of a Mac 512K Enhanced with a single floppy drive. He put me in front of there, and I actually did some real work in a few minutes without any trouble on a spreadsheet and a little database that I created using AppleWorks back in that day. Long story short, I actually worked for about a month going back and forth to his store until our church bought a bunch of Macs and a laser writer. Spent $11,000 on the equipment, and I haven't looked back since. I've owned Alisa with running Mac software and emulation, and I've had a Mac Portable, the first Mac laptop, a great big boat anchor. I still have that. And now I've graduated over the years to a MacBook Pro. Actually, I have a couple of them that my school has purchased for me, and I own a Mac Mini of my own that I've got hooked to my TV. So, you know, why am I a Mac user? I guess, as I said, I was born that way, but I grew up and became a true believer over the years. And I really can't go back. I can respect others who have other views and use other operating systems and other platforms. And I even use Windows myself. I think Windows 7 is great, the best thing that Microsoft has come up with in terms of operating system. But it's hard to beat the simplicity of a Mac. I got hooked on Gmail and using an Android phone, which is going to change here soon when I get an iPhone. But I'm waiting for the new one to come out. But the apps make it possible to use even all of the Gmail and Google stuff on Apple devices. Simple, you know, they're all app-driven. So it's, like I said, it's hard to beat the Apple products and the software that's written to go with them. And I just think some of your listeners said the hardware and the software, you know, Apple hardware and software just works together so seamlessly. So as others have said, if it just works, you know, why beat a dead horse and why try to reinvent the wheel? So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for inviting us to contribute. How did I become an Apple user? By the time I was 10 or 11, I was into art, architecture, mechanics, Lego, and Dungeons & Dragons. At the same time, I was given an Apple II Plus as my first computer. And along with games like Adventure and Wizardry, I learned how I could build programs that allow me to draw and animate with code. It filled me with a serene sense of wonder, similar to one we might have when thinking about experiencing the Earth from space. Just about when the Mac was introduced, my interest in art grew into an interest in graphic design. My dad, who was a draftsman at Motorola, borrowed a 128K Mac and Image Writer from the office, and on it I created my first design project, a printed program for my high school's art exhibit. The Mac became a natural extension of my art tools, and it, along with the TV show 30-something, influenced what is now my design career. What did I identify with as an Apple user? I mention the show 30-something because I believe my affinity for Apple has to do with identity and branding. I'll paraphrase Wally Olens, who is a veteran brand designer in the UK. Identity is a profound, simple, and basic manifestation of the human condition. We as individuals want to belong, and further, we want to be seen to belong. We see in tribes and gangs and cliques that we make our affiliations known in a number of ways, including visually. When the Mac came on the scene, I was at an age when I was forming an independent identity around peer relationships, while still looking up to my brothers, who were at the tailing end of the hippie counterculture. The characters in 30-something and the founders of Apple were also of this group. While my peer relationships were formed with the nerd set, those into D&D, arts, and computers, for me, Apple, its name, logo, product design, and behavior, represented something humanizing, inviting, and fresh. They were not stodgy, grown-up, or bankerly. They seemed like part of the counterculture, trying to break the mold. As Apple became a minority player, I, as part of the underdog set, could appreciate and had a natural affinity for defending the faith. And that gave me a deeper sense of belonging to a community of like-minded individuals. That entrenched my love of Apple. Still to this day, I get choked up by the power computing ad that said, "You can take my Mac when you can pry my cold, dead fingers off the mouse." Even when Steve was absent in the 90s, the presence of his founding vision and his aesthetic taste remained in my mind. Surely part of the allure of Apple is its product design. Apple's brand is largely product-led. I have a cultivated appreciation for design, and with Apple's products, I can see the goals might resemble the following. Make it as easy to use as a toaster, as powerful as a Federation starship, and as beautiful as a drop of liquid mercury. deliver a consistent experience that has the attention to detail one would expect from a hand-built automobile, like a Rolls, Bentley, or Aston Martin, and make sure all of our developers strive for that goal as well. Why have I remained an Apple user? In the late 90s and early 2000s, three things happened that diminished my ardent defense of Apple. The first was that I turned 30 and had more confidence in my choices and my career. The second was that Apple was rebounding and didn't seem to need defending. And third was 9/11, which put fanaticism sharply into perspective. By then, however, I was fully entrenched in Apple's vertical model, and as long as things keep flowing smoothly, I am quite happy to remain an Apple user. What do I see for the future? In the late 80s, I had a vision for what I wanted out of the Mac. I wanted a digital drafting table, one that I could sit or stand at and adjust to various heights and angles. We have sort of seen this with Wacom's tablet and Cintiq products, and somewhat with Microsoft's Surface. We may see the potential of the iPad in a larger form factor, and my hope is that in the next 5 years, we will see the equivalent of a digital drafting table, perhaps a large iOS-driven iMac. Further in the future, I hope we can attain the vision of Gene Roddenberry and of Corning's vision of a day made of glass, of a world where technology ubiquitously surrounds us, is instantly available, but is out of our way, a brandless, nationless human technology. And while Apple is still a branded entity, they have largely succeeded at keeping the computer out of our way, and I trust that will continue. Thanks again, Adam, and keep up the great MacCast.
Hello, Adam. This is Robert. And to explain why I use Apple products, I have to start out by saying that I am a totally blind person. I have no vision. And when I was in elementary school, high school, and undergraduate school, I used a regular typewriter to type my papers and my assignments. I knew how to touch type so I could turn them in, but I couldn't read anything I typed. So I couldn't get any feedback. I couldn't access mistakes. I couldn't proofread, couldn't do any of that stuff. But in 1978 or 79, I heard a blinded veteran do a demonstration of using his Apple II computer to have it connected to a speech synthesizer, and the computer was actually speaking the information that was on the screen. Now, it was a very robotic voice. It was the Echo II speech synthesizer. It sounded very robotic, but I could understand it. And so I quickly realized that this would greatly move in the direction of leveling the playing field for me because I could do word processing. I could review what I had written and so forth. So I immediately got an Apple II and was very excited about the Apple II, the Apple IIe, the Apple IIc. I had all those and loved them. Unfortunately, everything wasn't all roses because in 1984, when the Mac came out, the Mac was not very accessible to a blind person. There was one screen reader for the Mac, but it wasn't all that popular. And so almost all of us who used computers and were blind moved to the PC. And we stayed with the PC because there were screen reader options available for the PC. We stayed with it for 21, 22 years until, I don't know, 2005, 2006 when Tiger came along and Apple reintroduced accessibility to its products with VoiceOver. And VoiceOver, of course, is fabulous. It has made all the Apple products accessible at no additional charge. VoiceOver is built in to the Mac, the iPhone, the iPad, even some iPods. And you can take one of these devices out of the box and immediately make them accessible to a blind person. So now I'm back to using Apple products. We have a house full of iPhones, iPads, iPods, MacBooks, iMacs, and they're all fully accessible to me, which is very, very exciting. And so that is the reason that I use and love Apple products. It really felt like coming home to come back to the Apple products after so many years of not having decent access to them.
Why am I an Apple user? Well, in fact, my story might be fairly unique. I live in England, In 1980, I read an article in Business Week saying that IBM was going to bring out a microcomputer. I was really interested in that topic and decided to write a letter asking if I could go work for them. To cut a long story short, three interviews later, I was working for IBM, and I went on assignment from England to Boca Raton in Florida, where I worked with the original announcement team, including, of course, Don Estridge. My boss there was Jeanette Mayer, who ran the press office, and I worked for her. Following the announcement in 1982, I came back to the UK to help with the launch of the PC in Europe, and my job was press officer for the Personal Computer Group. In 1984, we were asked if we would take an IBM PC, in fact an XT, to the BBC for a program called Tomorrow's World. That was a live BBC program about technology. So off I went, as proud as anything, with my IBM PC. Only to find out when I got there that someone from Apple was there with a Lisa computer. Needless to say, I was bowled over by the graphical interface of the Apple computer, and my IBM PC XT seemed rather shameful, really, in comparison. It was then I became sold on the idea. I was busy at the time and couldn't afford an Apple computer, but about a year and a half later I bought one, and I've been a user ever since.
Hi, Adam. Lon Marshall here. One of the reasons that I'm an Apple user is way back in 92, I spoke with an IT guy who works on computers, and he told me that 9 out of 10 computers that he has to fix tend to be the IBM clones, and with the equal number of Macs that had been issued. So that struck me right off the bat. Later, I was given as a loaner a Mac Plus to use, and just fell in love with the operating system. It was so easy to use and enjoyable that for the same amount of money, I ended up buying a classic, a Macintosh Classic 2, small little 9-inch black and white screen compared to what you could buy with the IBM clones, the nice big color screens, more software, so on and so forth. But I went for the Mac and have never looked back. There was one point where I bought a Windows machine in the late 90s for our family at home, and was sorely disappointed. Viruses, breakdowns, maintenance problems, complexity. I hated it. Wish I never would have purchased it. I've always used Macs in my office the whole way through and have never had a problem getting the kind of software that we've needed. I'm the IT guy and the owner, the president of my corporation. It's a small business with only 5 employees. I think we've got that many computers. But over the years, have traded them in and out and upgraded the Macs, and never have any problems. And so I'm a Mac user because I think in the long run it's cheaper. I enjoy the ease of use. Don't have as many problems, and just love how cool it is.
Hello, Adam. This is Mike Leonard from Dayton, Ohio. I had a comment on Apple and Steve Jobs. I use Apple products mainly because they just work. They do have an edge so far on the user interface, and I think they care about their customers more than most other companies. I think Steve Jobs is a big part of why Apple is has those qualities. Although when he was gone and they introduced the Newton, I feel that whoever was in charge then, or at least whoever made that decision, certainly made a good one. The Newton was an excellent device and certainly spawned their new product. I don't really like the idea of everything being in the cloud, so I'm going to quite well resist that. And I'll probably just stick with Snow Leopard until I see things changing another way. I think Apple has a lot of good people working for it, and I don't think that Steve Jobs leaving will be that big of a deal in the end, the long run. My hope is that they will actually bring some manufacturing back to the United States, and I'd be very impressed with Apple if they did that, and I'd be more inclined to buy their products, even if I don't really care for some of the changes they make. Thank you. I appreciate being able to express my opinion.
Hi, Adam. This is Jane from California, and I want to respond to your question, why am I a Mac user? My basic reason is I could not see the outlined cursor set up on a PC. I see about an inch square using magnifying glasses that are attached to a pair of glasses. If you want to get a feel for how much I see without moving my head, go to the zoom feature in the universal access panel and move it all the way up, and you will see approximately what I see. It's approximately 2 inches square. And the other problem is, since I don't see that much of the screen at one time, whenever I would do anything with the cursor, I would lose the cursor. And it would always make me cry. The first time I saw a computer, it was a Mac. I knew the cursor and I were going to have a problem, even with the Mac. But eventually, I knew I needed a computer in 1998, got an old 1993 Mac, and with the combination of the reverse video and the fact that the cursor is a solid object, I was able to function on a computer for the first time, and it has been wonderful. Also, I want to give a quick heads up for one of your sponsors. PDF Pen makes it possible for me to read PDFs through the Mac system, which is just wonderful. I can scan something in. My scanner turns it into a PDF document. PDF Pen makes it accessible to the Mac speech function, and I'm off and running. And PDF Pen, I love you. Back to the why I use a Mac. As Mac continued to give products, I love the iPod Shuffle because it didn't need vision to work. And I eventually got an iPod Touch because I'm a very heavy ebook reader. I can read on a computer with the reverse video better than anything in the world. If I could make my entire world reverse video, I would do it. I can see photographs. The only thing I don't look at is like photographs. But reverse video for any kind of pictures, you know, drawings, things like that, it's just wonderful.
Why am I an Apple user? This is Jonathan in Pennsylvania. It was sixth grade, 1984. I was getting into the computer at school, getting excited about computers, getting into ASCII art, or at least thinking about it. I'd play educational games at school, and I thought it was so cool that you could just buy a magazine and type a game in BASIC. So finally, after saving up some money, Dad took me to the computer store in Pasadena. And we were considering the PC Junior. It was cheaper than the PC. It was the machine with the chiclet keyboard. But when the salesman showed us the Mac, it was over. We were blown away. Trash can, the menus, the palette in Mac Paint. I remember taking the Mac home to demo it. There was Mac-sized luggage. I think there was a cassette tape to listen to and some demo software. And we ended up buying the original 128K Mac, and we've been Mac users in the family ever since.
Hey, Adam. I'd like to respond to your question regarding why I am an Apple user. And to start out by stating that I have been using a Mac since the age of 7 when I was first introduced to the Macintosh Plus. Since Apple has always had a strong presence within the educational realm, I always had access to the Mac throughout my school years before college, even all the way up to my senior year in high school. With that said, the primary reasons for retaining myself as an Apple user breaks down to the overall experience that their products deliver. So I apologize in advance for saying the word experience a lot, but it's true in the case that I make. So the core elements of the Apple experience, in my opinion, include the ecosystem, the integration between all of their products, ease of use, stability, exceptional performance, overall aesthetic appeal, and of course the pure enjoyment associated with using an Apple product. Ever since the return of Steve Jobs in 97, Apple has continuously created the most aesthetically appealing products on the market, at least in my opinion, and of course within, I believe the public has made that point as well. But everything from the highest end desktop computers, the Mac Pros, for example, you know, the entire case being made of aircraft grade aluminum and so forth, and down to their iPod Shuffle has been, you can tell it's been crafted with the goal to captivate the buyer's attention as well as the bystanders. Not only are the products pleasing to the eye, but the attention to detail associated with the packaging is an experience to be unraveled as well. Apple users, such as myself, often keep the boxes that originally came with their shiny Apple products, but why? I believe it's because of the unboxing experience that's delivered with the purchase. Their packaging is clean, efficient, and articulated in a fashion that assures the buyer that they are about to unravel a product that was worth every hard-earned penny. As far as the Apple ecosystem, which has in some cases been accused of being a walled garden, has proven time and time again that the highly thought-out integration between Apple products extracts an amazing experience. AirPlay between the iPhone and Apple TV, for example, allows an average user to push and control content from their device onto their high-definition display with ease of use. The fact that I can wirelessly control my entire music library on my home theater speakers from my iPhone while I'm outside barbecuing in the backyard is such an amazing feature, in my opinion. And I'm well aware that there's other options and other manufacturers out there that are able to achieve this goal. I just feel that Apple has been able to, make this feature the absolute easiest to use and the most enjoyable at that. And since Apple controls both the hardware and software development, they have a way of making their products harmoniously work together while synergistically enhancing the overall results. So in other words, one Apple product by itself is great, an iPhone, for example, but coupled with another device designed to achieve a higher goal is even better, Apple TV, for example, as well. So moreover, you know, working in the IT industry, which for the most part has been dominated by Microsoft, has truly made me appreciate the stability, performance, and ease of use with Mac OS X and iOS. With each passing year, the company is continuously removing layers of unnecessary technical steps and allows the user to enjoy the technology that they're using. I choose a Mac as my primary machine, and I'm a person that owns multiple PCs, laptops, devices, etc. And I choose a Mac as my primary machine for school and my personal digital life because it allows me to get my tasks done with less effort than a PC, and it allows me to enjoy my digital content for what it truly is, all with minimal effort. And that's what makes their products purely enjoyable to use, because you're spending less time trying to get the product to work and gaining more time enjoying the overall task that you're trying to achieve.
Hi, Adam. This is Michael in Boston with my answer to your question of why am I an Apple user? I have used Unix computers in various flavors, either at work or at school, since 1980. I never really owned a personal computer, at least not until like the mid-90s or so. I've used Linux, but found as a desktop, I found it lacking. Although I do use it still as a server. So when work offered me a Macintosh, I jumped at the chance. I don't use Windows. I can't stand Windows, and I've already mentioned Linux. And I just loved it. It's a consistent user interface. The hardware and software just work. And at the core, it's still Unix, which is I'm very comfortable in. I can always just jump into the terminal to do a find command or something like that. So that is why I'm an Apple user.
Hi, Adam. This is Arne from Germany. Why am I an Apple user? So basically, it started really early when I was in school. A friend of mine had a key to a room from a college where they had a lot of Apple IIs. So we spent, evenings and nights playing games, ruining the keyboard with summer game keyboard tabs and stuff like that. And it was a great time. So I got myself an Apple IIe as well shortly after. Did a lot of gaming there on that age, of course. But then in college and university, I had to use the PC or even Unix, Linux machines. So that was my working environment there. So a long time passed, and then, when the iPhone 3G came out, I was really thought, I really want to try that. So I got myself an iPhone, was happy about it. I really loved it. And, shortly after I bought myself my MacBook Pro, my first time capsule Mac Mini for Media Center. So I really went into the whole thing. That was really cool. And I really, when I first entered the Mac again, I really felt at home again. So that was really coming home. And what was interesting as well is 2000 I joined SAP, which is a big business software company. And recently they really got the strategy to build apps, some mobile apps. And so I had the chance to really get myself as well a MacBook and try to get my fingers dirty with iOS app development. And now, guess what? I'm in a team. I lead a team where we create iPad apps for business software. So that's really cool. And let's see where the things go.
Hello, Adam. This is Ben calling from Spokane, Washington. I am an Apple user for several reasons. One, because Apple products are very easy to use, extremely easy to use, and I just really love that they're user-friendly. Two, the accessibility. The accessibility is unmatched. I just love going up to a Mac and being able to turn it on and be able to use it. I sadly was a JAWS user for 13 years, and JAWS is a Windows screen reader on the PC side, and it's not very good. Let me put it that way. It is not very good. So, anyway, the accessibility is just excellent. Number three, I love the fact that Apple is going SSD and no optical drive. I don't use my CDs anymore, and I just download books straight to my Mac. It's the way to go as far as I'm concerned. I got my first Mac back in 2008 at the Pioneer Place Apple Store, and I absolutely loved it. It's great. And I was able to set it up myself without any site assistance required. I became an Apple fanatic. You know, so I convinced my mom to get a Mac. And so she got one, and she loves hers too. And so anyway, my passion ended up taking me just really wild and crazy about Apple, and I ended up getting hired by Apple because of my passion for Mac. And so it's, you know, just a great thing. I don't have to, you know, worry about PCs anymore, and all my family are using iPhones. So, and I'm still trying to get my dad over to the Mac somehow, some way.
Hi, Adam, and the rest of the MacCast community out there. This is McKay from Lethbridge with a How I Got Started Using Mac story, if that's the official name. I'm going to go with it for now. My story starts off as this. Back when, in 2005, 2006, I was in high school, And up in middle school, I never used computers. Grade school, I never used computers. And in high school, our computer lab was outfitted with a bunch of IBM, I think they were Windows either 98 or XP computers. Anyways, they were old Windows machines, and we only ever used them for writing essays. So I would go in there and write, you know, my essay on Shakespeare or something, and then print it off and then hand it to my teacher, and that was all I ever had to do with computers. And we had some, I think they were IBM machines of some kind. They were large and gray, and they sort of sat on their side, and we had a big CRT monitor that sort of sat on top. And that was it. It was one big unit. They had a gray keyboard, gray mouse. It was all gray. So it was all pretty boring. And they didn't really interest me very much. And I was like, whatever, you know, computers, you know, you type on them and you get an essay and then you're done for the day. And then in 2006, my dad went out and bought a 20-inch iMac and brought it home and set it up. And I looked at it as a little kid and I was like, oh, that's kind of a nice-looking monitor. You know, it's nice and white. It's not gray. That's cool. It's thin. And then I wanted to play around with it, so I looked beneath the desk for the tower to turn it on, and I was like, oh, there's no tower. Okay. Maybe it's in the drawer. And I checked the drawer, and it wasn't in the drawer. And I was like, oh, okay, that's weird. Maybe the tower's in the cupboard up top. So I checked up there, and it wasn't there. And then I was like, okay, maybe it's just a monitor, and he hasn't bought the computer yet. So I went and asked my dad about it. I was like, oh, no, it is the computer. And I was like, what do you mean it is the computer? It's just the monitor. He was like, no, it is the computer and the monitor all in one. And my little brain couldn't wrap my head around it. So I was like, no, you must be mistaken, Dad. It's got to be just a monitor, because there's no way you could fit that giant gray box into such a small space. So thought I. And then he's like, here, I'll show you, son. So he reaches behind it and presses the power button, and the thing boots up and launches into, I believe it was Tiger at the time, and it's all, like, colorful and blue, and all the icons have little gradients and stuff on them, and the dock was all shiny and reflective, and the, like, iTunes logo was crisp and clear, and coming from Windows XP, this was amazing to me, even as a little kid. And the fact that it was all in one thing, I just couldn't get over. And that fascinated me for like a year. And I went and I researched all about Apple stuff, and I fell in love with Mac OS X, and I played on that thing all the time. Never had a single virus, which was great, because I've infected some computers at the school a few times with viruses just from going to certain websites. Like, I think back when I was a little kid, I went and looked at Red vs. Blue when it first came out, and I'd get directed to some sites, and they'd, you know, give you viruses, so the Mac was awesome for that. And when it came time to go to college, my dad said that I could get a computer, like a laptop, to help me with my studies and stuff, and it was, boom, instant, I wanted a MacBook Pro, and nothing else. And now I have one, and I've never looked back. I love it, and I don't know what I would do without it. And I certainly couldn't do as many of the things I do with a Windows machine. Like, I couldn't use Notebook, I couldn't use Omni Outliner, which I love. I wouldn't be able to use Sketch, iTunes. I heard it doesn't run as well on Windows. And I've grown to be a bit of a nerd, so I use a lot of the terminal and command line stuff, which is, I don't think it's worse, but I think it's different than it is on Windows. And I use go back and forth between this and a Linux machine a lot, so that is nice that they are very, very similar. So that's my Mac story, and I hope you guys like it. And I look forward to hearing the rest of your stories.
And there you go. There are all those stories that you sent in, and I really appreciate it. It was a whole lot of fun to listen to all your comments as to why you became Apple users. And I think we'll continue to share these. If you want to send yours in, if you don't have to worry that you missed this episode, I love getting your audio comments regarding any topic. But if you want to send in your story, please send it along. Maybe we can do a follow-up It might take a little bit longer to cull together enough to put together a whole episode, but if I can get another dozen or so, I'd love to share these again, because I think it's a lot of fun and just really shows how great this community is. So thanks everybody who sent theirs in, and if you're planning on sending one in, I'll thank you up front. So that's going to do it for today. Before I leave you, I do want to thank all of my show sponsors, Furonix, makers of Deep Freeze. You can get more information on their software details and check it out over at furonix.com. Circus Ponies, check out Notebook. You can find more information and details as well as free trials over at circusponies.com. Smile, they make text expander, PDF pen, disk label, really great applications. I rely every day on PDF pen and text expander. You can get more information and details as well as demos at smilesoftware.com. And Gazelle, the new iPhone is going to be here any day. So if you want to earn some cash selling some of your old stuff, you can check it out on gazelle.com. And a big thank you to all of my sponsors for their support of the MacCast. Big thank you to you. If you have a comment for me, a question, something you'd like to hear covered on a future episode of the MacCast, you can send email to maccast@gmail.com, or you can call in on our listener hotline. That's at 281-622-4269, 281-MAC-IAM-9. And if you leave a voicemail, if you could leave your email address, I'd appreciate that. You can also leave voicemail on Skype. My Skype address is TheMacCast. And if you need show notes, links to anything that I talk about on the episodes of the MacCast, you can find those on the MacCast website. That's at maccast.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out the MacCast forum. And then you can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MacCast, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheMacCast. And I'm actually just getting ready. If you hear this before Saturday, October 1st, it might be too late for some of you, but if you do get this episode before then and you are in the Bay Area, I'm going to be in Petaluma on October 1st, this Saturday, at the Mac Computer Expo. You can find details at maccomputerexpo.com. Basically, it's a free conference put on by the North Coast Mac Users Group, and I'll be presenting a keynote panel on iFuture, the future of Apple, and also doing a session on iPad beyond web and email, so kind of taking the iPad to the next level and getting some real work done on it and some tips and tricks that I've learned for doing that. So if you can make it out for that, we'd love to see you. They also have a big vendor area where people like Smile are actually going to be there showing off their stuff, so you can come by, say hi to Gene, and Jeff Gamet from Mac Observer, who I'm on We Have Communicators, will be there, along with a bunch of other great folks, Jason Snell, Bert Monroy, let's see, Ted Lando, the list goes on and on and on. So check it out, and completely free, maccomputerexpo.com is the URL where you can get details. And I hope to see you there. And if you can't make it, well, then I will see you next time on the MacCast. So until then, I will talk to you all again real soon.